I'm speaking today about finding meaning. A life without meaning is a life without hope, because it means not moving forward to higher things, but just going around in futile or unnecessary things. It's important to know that we're being led forward by God on a journey into a higher purpose in God at this time of spiritual challenge. And when Israel was taken out of Egypt and led by Moses through the wilderness to get to the promised land, they found themselves on a journey of discovering the meaning of their life and purpose. And there are lessons for us in these days that we can learn from how they reacted to the challenges. They were challenges of enormous change and disruption in order to be led by God into that destiny. I want to read from the scripture that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about the lesson that we are to learn from Israel in going through that journey in the wilderness as an example for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10:1. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about Israel in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. They drank from the spiritual rock that travelled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and many died in the wilderness. Nor should we put Christ to the test, and don't grumble as some of them did. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to instruct us who live at the end of the age. So Paul was writing that for our instruction. As regards to Israel, it was too hard for Israel on the inside to totally leave the situation they'd been in, because it meant too much change. When they got to the Red Sea after leaving Egypt, they were too afraid to go across because they thought they were going to be killed and drown. But God did the miracle of parting the waters and they went through. They were also too afraid to enter straight into the promised land almost 2 years later because they saw themselves as helpless grasshoppers in the face of the giants in the land. The people of that land were huge and they were spies sent into the land, 12 of them, to see what was in there. 10 spies saw nothing but danger and threat, and that caused the people to rebel and refuse to go in. But 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, saw nothing but fruitfulness and marvelous potential and triumph. But the people weren't going to go, so God said to Moses that they were going to wander for another 38 years. That's 40 years altogether. The actual trek from where they came out of Egypt after that Red Sea experience to the Promised Land, to a place called Kadesh Barnea, which was the entrance point to the Promised Land, can be hiked in 11 days by a hiker. Not 2 million people walking slowly, but nonetheless, it would not take a long time to get from that point at the Red Sea across the top of the Sinai Peninsula. Now, if you can picture the Sinai Peninsula as a triangle, and they just had to go across the top of the triangle. But God led them down to the base of the triangle, to the Sinai Peninsula. They went down to Mount Sinai there, and then went up the other side of the triangle to Kadesh Barnea. God had them follow that cloud that we spoke about, and that cloud was the Holy Spirit. And that was the 2 year part of the journey during which time he challenged their faith and trust in him by testing their attitudes and reactions to real life survival challenges. It would have been like a reality TV show where all the worst attitudes in the survivors come to the surface. They went without water for 3 days and complained bitterly to Moses against God. So God did the miracle where Moses strikes the rock with his rod and brings water out of the rock. And remember that scripture said that rock was Christ. So that speaks to us of Christ releasing the living water of the Holy Spirit into our lives for our very life. They also despised the miracle food called manna that God provided for them. And they complained that it didn't taste as good as the food they had in Egypt. Well, I think they were kidding themselves there, but nonetheless, they didn't want change. And then they gave up on God when they got to the bottom of the triangle, the Sinai Peninsula, at Mount Sinai, and Moses disappears for 6 weeks up on top of the mountain to get the commandments, the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. And while he was gone, they made the golden calf that they called God. That was their idolatry. From the time that God had Moses go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," this is before they even started on the journey, they had to go through all the plagues upon Egypt and upon the waters, turning to blood and frogs and all kinds of insects and locusts. These were warnings to Pharaoh, who finally said, "Get out of here." And that was at least 40 days for all of that to happen. And there's a saying that goes, it took 40 days to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get the Egypt out of Israel. See, this meant an unnecessary going around for 40 years instead of going forward and going straight into their land. Because when they got to the land and didn't go in, they had to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that time, they had to learn the meaning and purpose of God for them as a people. And that had to wait for the next generation who went into the land under Joshua and Caleb. Their journey was an example and a warning for us in our generation about not coming to a standstill and going round and round without a sense of meaning or purpose, but going forward in that purpose of God as his people. The world today is experiencing a time of crisis, of endurance and survival, where many things have come to a standstill and many people are going round and round, having lost a sense of meaning and purpose, because the challenges are very real for people today. But we're on a journey with God. This is a time for us to pause and assess where we are individually and as God's people, and to assess where we are going. It's important to know that we are being led forward into a higher purpose in God at this time of spiritual challenge. It's also important to know what we have to do to find meaning on this journey. It means wanting to be where we are going more than staying where we are, and not going round and round as Israel did for 40 years. Finding meaning in life is an inner experience of pursuing our highest spiritual goals. For us, this means finding partnership with Jesus in every challenge of our life's journey. And the challenge becomes magnified when we're experiencing totally unforeseen situations that require radical change, and the world is in that kind of situation at present. We face challenges like survival against an invisible virus, managing an economy that has been overburdened with an unanticipated demand upon resources, because the workplace is being demolished. This creates a sense in people of a lack of meaning. What is going on? We face challenges like the devastating emotional and mental consequences of the hopelessness and confusion and despair of so many needy people. That brings a lack of meaning. Politicians are overwhelmed with such grave responsibilities, and many are so preoccupied with grasping for political survival that they're making dangerous errors of judgment. Our Prime Minister has prevented a growing interference from communist China, who've been trying to inveigle other leaders in the nation into disastrous alliances. Continue in your prayers for that to be dealt with God's way. There have been attempts by people at various levels of government and by political activists to manipulate the uncertainties of our social situation because of special interest ideologies that are quite foolish and even sinister. Ideologies go wrong because people apply an intense, narrow focus on things which are not the big picture. They're just something for certain people that say this has got to be placed above every other value in the culture. That displays a lack of meaning. Many people, including some Christians, have gone into denial with conspiracy theories that beggar belief, saying that the virus is a hoax and ignoring or scoffing common sense precautions to stay safe. That lacks meaning. Now, I don't mean to be just reading a litany of disasters, but we need to have a look at what is bringing about a lack of meaning, because I want to talk about how we can actually find meaning. There are many regular people who were managing things well enough that now find things unmanageable because these challenges have not been faced before. And that can bring about a sense of futility. The struggles are too big. It's like when Israel got to Kadesh Barnea and the spies come out and said, the giants are too big, we're not going in. They didn't see the potential that Joshua and Caleb saw. And that can make a person feel hopeless. So for many, the entire situation that's happening in our world today can appear to have little or no meaning. But we can find meaning in it. And that means getting new perspective and understanding and wisdom. It means finding deeper faith, deeper courage, and deeper meaning in what we do. But there is meaning in everything that happens in God. Reality never disappears when you work at what is real and not just imagined or just emotional. So, are we going forward or just going around? We have everything we need to go forward and find meaning in God in everything we do. Let me talk about some pathways in challenging circumstances. First, there's what I'd call creative action. That's a way to find meaning. When God created the world, the Bible said it was without form and void. There was just darkness on the face of the deep. And so God brought order into this disorder or chaos through his word. We have that creative word. It was the Logos. Jesus is the Logos. We have that creative Logos within us, giving us the faith to bring God's creative order out of disorder. Whenever we do something out of the creative spiritual gift or ability given to us by God, we act with that same reordering action of faith. It's a scientific fact that anything left to itself unattended deteriorates or corrupts into a state of disorder. Even material things, they perish either from the inside or from the outside in, if they're not attended to, in a stable state. It's the same with things we have to attend to, like in our relationships, or wise management of our health, or finance, or material possessions. We bring order out of chaos or disorder. That's what God wants us to be able to do, and he's gifted us to do it. And that is always a meaningful thing to do. And different people will bring order in a different way as to how they've been given God's ability to do it. Some will bring wisdom. Some will be there just to help with care and compassion for other people. Others will be more available to God to find healing for other people. There are ones that will encourage. There are ones that will lead. So we live in a world that has fallen into disorder and corruption in so many ways. But God says, I've placed you there and given you my creative word to bring about creative action. It requires energy and action and willingness to be part of the reordering of life in this world. And you are called to be a part of that. God is a God of order. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of an ordered mind. And that word fear in the original language in Greek is not phobos. It's not the phobia, which is the normal word for fear. It is deilia, which means intimidation. In other words, we are not to be intimidated by what other people say or do or by the circumstances, but to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God and to work with an ordered mind, bringing order out of disorder. Then there's enduring suffering. That's the second way or pathway of finding meaning in challenging circumstances. We can find hope and strength in times of stress or loss or anxiety or weakness or sickness. This is where miracles of faith happen, because Jesus is always with us in those times. That is what having a saviour is all about, a rescuer in stormy and perilous times. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 14, where the disciples are out in a boat in a storm. I'll read it to you from verse 24. And it says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost.' And Jesus spoke to them at once and said, 'Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' Jesus said, 'Yes, come.' So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' Jesus said. 'Why did you doubt me?' And they climbed back into the boat. The wind stopped." Can you imagine if Peter would have received that invitation from the Lord to walk towards him on the water, and it was a placid lake? Peter might have thought, "Oh, this looks easy. It's like just a walk in the park." He would have got out of the boat. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he would have just kept on walking and met Jesus and walked back to the boat. But it wasn't a placid lake. There were huge waves. So Peter looked at the waves, saw the wind, got his eyes off the Lord and onto the magnitude of the difficulty in the circumstances, and began to sink. His faith was what was sinking. But he did the right thing. He said, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus reached out and grabbed him. But you see, walking on water is walking on water, whether it's a placid lake or 20-foot waves. It's still a supernatural act of God, a miracle work of coming to rescue us in times of difficulty. But if we think this difficulty is a 20-foot wave, I wish it was only a placid lake, that's not going to make any difference to whether a supernatural work of God is going to be done. We can't say this is too big for God. This is when God demonstrates his greatness. And it's in times of stress and suffering and that awareness of our own human limitations that this is what occurs and brings meaning to our life and our faith in times of suffering and challenge. So recall the times that Jesus has rescued in times of storms and difficulties, and expect that to continue and grow in these days. Then there's loving care. This is the third pathway, the final pathway that I want to talk about. It was out of love that God created us, and it is his love that gives meaning to our lives. There was great meaning for God in creating the universe, but what had greatest meaning for God was creating you. And that came out of his overflow of love. You were adopted. That means placed in his family alongside of Jesus. And God wants you to know he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You say, "Really?" Let me read you the scripture. In John 17, verse 26, Jesus is praying to the Father and he says, "I'll continue to make your name known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." And in verse 23, he says, "And you have loved them even as you loved me." There it is. He loves us the same as he loves Jesus. Jesus has brought us to the Father as himself. And that is, I believe, the Father's secret weapon for transforming our lives. Not force or coercion or legalism, but the response to knowing his love. Knowing the greatness that his love for us not only gives our personal lives our greatest meaning, but it makes loving others more meaningful. Caring for the needs of others in family or extended family, to friends or strangers that come across your path, gives our lives together its real meaning. So let's pray that God will give us an understanding of how much he loves us. Let us know that as we reach out, that love that flows to us first, and then through us, and then to another, we're on a journey, and we are finding the meaning of life as destined by God for us, that we can go forward with hope and purpose as a nation. In Jesus' name, amen.